Warm up the duck boats and start singing Sweet Caroline. It's time for the Boston Breakdown. I'm Joe Braverman, and on this show, we discuss the biggest news and stories in the world of Boston sports. Everything from the Patriots,
let's go!
Red Sox,
can you believe it?
Bruins,
the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup,
and Celtics. Game action, transactions, you name it, we'll discuss it. Now, it's time to break it down.
Steady. He'll get more reps this week, if that's the question. If that's the underlying question, he'll get more reps this week.
But I love that dirty water.
What is going on, everybody? We're coming at you here on a Wednesday, August 14th, drop day, August 15th, for the 24th edition of the Boston Breakdown Podcast. It's episode 24. That means you look at your famous 24s out there. How about the great Manny Ramirez while we're still in baseball season? Or if you want to be specific for today's episode where we're talking Patriots, the one and only Ty Law. How about the great Ty Law as an episode there? So, you can't fight the law because the law won. I know I messed up that lyric. Great. You can tell how young I am. But again, 24th episode, talking about Ty Law, and we're talking Patriots because preseason week one, still a lot of questions, not a ton of answers. In fact, they even produce more questions if you look at how much those quarterbacks played. But we are here week two in the middle of joint practices between the Pats and the Eagles. And by the time this episode drops, we'll be less than 24 hours before the Pats and Eagles get it on in preseason game number two. And for that, I need someone who had eyes on the field and boots on the ground to tell me what exactly has been going on in these joint practices. And honestly, what we can look forward to in that preseason game between the Birds and the Pats. I feel like we need the one and only John Lyons to help me out. So here is a great conversation I had with WEEI's own John Lyons talking about joint practices and previewing preseason game two. Another week of Patriots practice, getting ready for their second preseason tilt, this one against the Philadelphia Eagles during joint practices. For more perspective, we welcome a very special guest to the program. You know him from his own personal show on WEEI. You can also catch him with KJ and Lyons. He's also a writer for the Patriots, for New England Football Journal, and for WEEI.com. The one and only John Lyons makes his debut on the Boston Breakdown Podcast. John, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, Joe, it's a pleasure to be on with you. I enjoy working with you. So when you gave me the chance to be on this, I look forward to it, and I'm happy to finally be here.
Yeah, very, very few times we've been able to have a free-flowing conversation because we're stuck in the borders of radio and those Brighton studios. But here we are. Finally, just you and me talking some football. I wanted to get you on here specifically because while you've been at the Patriots camps and their practices, I feel like your perspective on the Patriots has been sort of lined up to mine. So I want to get first your thoughts on what happened last week, because that's really been the talk of what's gone on so far. Is yeah, the Patriots won 17-3 against the Panthers in their preseason opener, but let's be honest, no one looks at the score. For preseason, we look at the specific players. So I want to ask you specifically what you saw from that game that maybe gave you a little bit of hope, because I feel like it's been all negative basically from the start of free agency to now with all the turmoil and drama. Just what did you like out of seeing the preseason opener last week?
Well, I thought defensively, Joe, they were terrific in this game. I thought their defense played better than not maybe better than I expected, but as good as I expected, especially since Carolina was playing a lot of backups. But it looked like a team that could have a top six or seven defense in the NFL. So defensively, I was really, really happy with where they were at. And that's what they're going to need to do this year, Joe. I think they're going to have some legitimate struggles on offense, especially the offensive line. The special teams was bad last year. I think it would be better this year, but it's a question mark. Whereas defensively, you know, hey, these guys are pretty good. They know what's going on. So can that be a way that they win games, right? Can they win some games 17-14 or 14-10 or 21-17? Kind of games like that. Because I think, Joe, those are going to be the kind of games they're going to have to win, especially if they're going to win any games in that first couple months of the year when they're playing some really good defenses themselves. they're going to need their own defense to step up, and they're going to have to win some of those close games. So what I was impressed with in that first preseason game was very much so the defense.
I think specifically when you talk to someone who maybe was sort of tuned out for the last couple of weeks, they look sort of on the defensive side. They see Christian Barmore with the blood clots, the drama with Matthew Judon and his contract. They might be a little bit worried specifically about that defense. And also Christian Gonzalez maybe not lighting the world on fire like he did in the offseason. Who are some of the guys that you think can fill and step up into this role, specifically maybe on the defensive line to replace Barmore or potentially Judon if he gets traded out? Like, are there some names that we're kind of glossing over that you think could probably carry this defense, as you say?
Yeah, well, first, look, as much as I like the defense and they were great against Carolina and they held up in the joint practice against the Eagles, which I know we're going to get to, I think those things you mentioned, Joe, are fair concerns, right? Christian Barmore is an elite level defensive tackle, and they're not going to have him at least for a while, maybe for the entire season, but at the very least for a while. Matthew Judon's status is up in the air. And Christian Gonzalez last year was great in the first three games, but then he got hurt. Now he's working his way back and he looks good. I don't know if he looks as elite as I was maybe hoping he would be coming into this year. Now, can he improve? Can he bounce back? Yeah, I think he can. And as far as, you know, who am I looking for, especially without Barmore and with the Judon situation flux, Devon Godshaw, I think, has played really well for the Patriots the last couple of years, and he's going to have to continue to do that in the middle of that defensive line. I think you're going to see quite a bit of Anfernee Jennings as well. They gave him a three-year contract to re-sign him in the offseason. I think he sets the edge in the run game as well as anybody they have on defense, and he's a solid pass rusher as well. And, of course, Josh Uche will be in the mix as well. So those are guys that are kind of going to have to collectively step up in the absence of Barmore, and with Judon's situation in flux, I'd put Dan Aquale in that spot as well. He's probably going to get a lot of snaps that otherwise would have gone to Christian Barmore, at least, you know, in the early part of the season when it feels like we know Barmore is definitely going to be out. And in the secondary wise, look, as I said, I think Gonzalez can bounce back and I think he can be fine this year and be good. Jonathan Jones is legit. I want to see how Marcus Jones does. He missed last year with that injury. You know, can he step up? Can he be a slot corner? Or is Marte Mapu going to play a big role in this defense? Because Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers, it feels like, Joe, they're going to be out there almost all the time, those two guys. And then it feels like Jonathan Jones and Christian Gonzalez are going to be out there all the time. So then who's that fifth defensive back? Is it Marte Mapu or is it Marcus Jones? Maybe is it someone else? But I think that's the thing to watch, because they can go three cornerbacks in their nickel package. They can go three safeties in their nickel package. Either way, it's five defensive backs. But I think, to me, Joe, in the Eagles preseason game, in the Washington one that's coming up in a week and a half, and then even to start the season, that's one of the things on defense I'm watching. Is it three corners or is it three safeties? And I think those, Joe, are some names to kind of follow and watch if you're interested in that.
If you've got, as you say, your strength in your defense, that's definitely going to have a little bit of a microscope. But I think before we get to that, as you said, one last thing of note from the preseason opener was probably the biggest one of them all, and that's the quarterback play out there. You saw Jacoby Brissett start the game one series, and then maybe the biggest shocker was Drake May coming in the following series, but then he was done one series in that preseason opener, and then it was majority of Bailey Zappe and then Joe Milton following him. Give me your take on what Jerron Mayo threw out there in the preseason opener. Do you like or not like the fact that Drake May, the third overall pick, is only getting one series in his first legit NFL action?
So it's disappointing to me, Joe, but I understand it, and I'm going to tell you why. So Jacoby Brissett, I was hoping he would get two series and then May would get three or four. So between them, you know, five or six series total, and then hand it over to Zappe and Milton after that. Brissett only got one. And in that one series, I have to say, the offensive line looked okay. Stevenson had a first down run. Brissett couldn't find anyone open, but he had good protection when he dropped back to throw. Then when May came in, the line got a little bit shakier. Then after May, it was really bad. I think the decision to not play those guys more than they did, especially when it comes to May, boils down to two things. They are satisfied with where May is in his development in that they're slow walking it, and that's their plan. Fine. I don't love that, but it's their plan. And then number two, and I think most importantly, Joe, they are scared of this offensive line in the depth and where it's at, because all it takes is a one blown protection and you could deal with an injury to Drake. I mean, look at the Vikings. They just lost J.J. McCarthy for the entire season. Imagine if something like that happened with Drake May, because it's not just, oh, Drake May might not play this year. Well, if he's injured, though, he can't really develop either behind the scenes, right? Because he's working his way back from injury. So it feels like, to me, Joe, they are just so scared of this offensive line. I mean, Vedarian Lowe started at left tackle. They are so thin, he had to play with the second unit for a while at left tackle, right? And they had breakdowns of the core of four, and then their second and third unit offensive lines, you know, and I know Belichick's not here anymore. I get it. Some of those offensive linemen he drafted the past few years have just given them almost nothing. Now, some of them good. Sidibe Sow's a good player, and I think he will be, and Mike Onwenu's a great player, but then some of those other ones that they were hoping for depth pieces have really given them nothing. And I think some of the depth pieces they have now, like Laydon Robinson, I like a lot. Caden Wallace, I like a lot. They're two rookies, though, right? So even that, like, there's questions there. And I think this front office, you went out in the offseason and you didn't sign a left tackle. Like, I think they're kind of finding out the consequences of that now. So I was really hoping for more, Joe, from the two QBs. I was disappointed by it, but I understand why they did it.
Yeah, I think that's the key word, is you don't like it, but you understand why they do it. And let's just be honest, they value Drake May. They value his development, as you said. Let's shift gears now and talk about this week, because obviously preseason week two, the first joint practice earlier in the week. You were there when the Pats and the Eagles started practicing together. I was reading a lot of reports, specifically from you and from other Patriots reporters. I'm getting a mix here. I'm getting there was a lot of good, but there was also a lot of bad. Just what are kind of your overall impressions from what you saw with your own two eyes about those joint practices between New England and Philly?
And Joe, I'm going to give you two words, and this is what the Patriots experienced in this joint practice. Learning experience. That's what this was. The Eagles were bigger, stronger, and faster. They're probably a couple levels above the Patriots. They're a legit Super Bowl contender. Right. And we can nitpick, hey, the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Bengals, the Chiefs, but they're in that group of a team that can, they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and lost by three. They can legitimately go to the Super Bowl and win this year. So the Patriots, obviously, that's not who they are. So they battled defensively. I thought the Patriots held up okay. I mean, AJ Brown had a monster day, but he is a monster, right? At receivers. So he's going to, I would have hoped he didn't have quite the big day that he had. Didn't love that. But again, he's that great of a player. And I thought the defense at least held their own. Offensively, Joe, Jalen Polk looks like the real deal. He was terrific, I thought, in this practice. DeMario Douglas was terrific. I thought Jacoby Brissett was mostly pretty good, but the offensive line was a serious problem. And it was all the units of the offensive line. And part of that, Joe, got to be fair, the Eagles' defensive line is probably one of the three best defensive lines the Patriots will face all year. Them, the 49ers, and the Jets. That's probably the three best. So it's an elite defensive line. I mean, you have Bryce Huff, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter. I mean, that's as good a trio as any team in the league has and any team in the league has had in the last probably 5 years. So it's tough. But Jacoby Brissett got very little protection. There was a couple plays here and there where they opened holes in the run game, but for the most part, they didn't. And then Drake May got virtually no protection from the second unit offensive line. I was hoping May would get some reps with the ones. That was disappointing just for the protection aspect of it. You know, how does this guy look in the pocket? I didn't even get a full answer to how he looked in the pocket against an opponent because he so rarely had a pocket to throw out of. So that was concerning to me, Joe, to see, because when you look at their schedule, again, Philly is an elite D-line, but the Bengals have Trey Hendrickson, right? They have a pass rush that can get after it. Seattle has some guys up front, and they have a good secondary that can cover. Week three, you have that Jets defensive line I mentioned. Week four, you have that San Francisco D-line I mentioned. Like, all of a sudden, you're going to start facing really good defensive lines. Even 6 weeks into the season, you play Houston, who just added Danielle Hunter, right? Like, you are going to face teams with really good pass rushes or good against the run, and they're going to have to be able to hold up. And frankly, Joe, especially that second and third unit, I thought they were atrocious yesterday. The first unit had some moments, but even them, I mean, I didn't walk away with really any confidence about them holding up against a great D-line. And that's something that, again, when you look at this whole thing, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, they might have to win some games 14-10, because it's not that Jacoby Brissett stinks, and I'm not telling you he's great, but it's not that he stinks. It's not that some of these receivers stink, but if they just can't protect – then there's it's going to limit what they can do. And I think that's a lesson between yesterday and the start of the season. Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt are going to have to take to heart, and they're going to have to figure out some things to do with what looks like to me is going to be below average pass protection for the entire year and at best average run blocking for the entire year.
It's going to be a very tricky thing to try and accomplish, as you said. Staying with Mayo, though, he's sort of been, I guess, the headliner going into the camp, the mini camp of the practices. Now it's kind of a little bit on the back burner. I mean, the biggest thing I heard from him was about these fights at joint practice, where he said, if you're a starter and you fight, you're playing the entire game. If you're a backup and you fight, you're not playing at all in the preseason. Do you like Mayo kind of taking this approach? Like, it seems like he's trying to adapt with this idea of being more loose than the guy before him, but also commanding the respect of the locker room. How are you liking Gerard Mayo's approach and maybe his demeanor during this week?
So specifically to the point about the fights, I like that if he sticks to it. Like, Josh Uche got in a little scuffle in practice. Is he going to make Josh Uche play the whole preseason game? Because if he doesn't, then does that send the message that he wasn't really serious, right? Because we know with the previous regime, guys fight, they just get kicked out of practice. Which, again, that's one way to do it, which I think worked. But I think, again, I don't mind what Mayo said. I think there's some real merit to it. It's just, will he stick to it? Overall, look, the guy's a rookie head coach. There's going to be some growing pains there. Like, we went from the greatest head coach of all time with a button-down operation that even at the end, the last 2 years when they had losing seasons and things started to become undone, it was still buttoned up than quite a few other places in the league. I mean, they still went into Pittsburgh and beat Mike Tomlin and won. They still went into Denver and beat Sean Payton and won a game late in the season when a lot of other teams would quit by that point. They still fought tooth and nail against Buffalo the second to last week of the season when a lot of other teams would have quit. And again, I'm not saying, like, the scoreboard is the scoreboard, but my point being, you went from that to now this is something new, and there's going to be growing pains, whether it's, you remember on EEI when he said the burning some cash comments, right? And
it's been a staple for the past 6 months.
Yeah, he got criticized for it, but that's a growing pain, right? Like, and some of the lack of reps for Jacoby Brissett and Drake May, I don't think we'll see that again next year in the preseason to open things up, right? Unless they're in a much different place. But again, that's a learning experience for him. I think the whole Matt Judon situation for him and Elliott Wolf is a big growing pain and learning experience, because I think, look, I like the fact that him and Wolf sat down and said, we want to re-sign Onwenu and Duggar and Peppers and Jennings and all these other guys, because I think those guys are good players and I want them back on the team. But they should have known, hey, if we're going to do this, it's going to probably piss off Matt Judon and we need to have a plan for that. And it felt like they have not had a good enough plan with him. They did not have a good enough line of communication with him. So again, on one hand, did something good, re-signed all those guys. On the other hand, you botched the Judon situation. And maybe the Judon situation will eventually get resolved, but still, the point where it's gotten to with the on-the-field back and forth and Judon getting asked to leave practice and what, like, that wouldn't have happened under Belichick. Right? It just, like, that scene specific. But again, I'm not going to crush Mayo for it because it's his first year. He's a rookie, and it's a growing pain. Now, Joe, if this happens again in OTAs next year or training camp next year, I'm going to have a serious problem. Like, I'll give you another example. I was at practice a couple weeks ago. Bunch of guys showed up late, like 3 or 4 minutes late to practice. It really bothered me. But you know what? The other times I've been there, no one showed up late. So the showing up late was a big problem. But it seems like Mayo addressed it, learned from it, and it hasn't happened since. So I give him that benefit of the doubt. But I think, again, some of this is to be expected. He's a rookie head coach. There's going to be some growing pains. That doesn't absolve botching the Judon situation. But if they can learn from it, great. That's going to be one of the tests going forward, is how much can they learn this year in new positions?
Yeah, that's the key. As long as it's not utter chaos, I think everyone's going to give Mayo the benefit of the doubt.
And that is a possibility, Joe. I hate to say that. I own Mayo's jersey. But with that offensive line and you got all new coaches, there's a possibility with that schedule, you might get into chaos halfway or three quarters of the way through. Let's hope not. But that's never really been on the table this century with the Patriots. Now it's at least maybe not on the table, but it's kind of next to the table hanging out.
It's sort of coming up in the distance of that rear view mirror.
It's maybe on the counter, on the side of the table, but it's in the room now, whereas before it wasn't.
Yeah, it might be in the junk drawer, but eventually you'll clean it out and find it. Let's move to what you're expecting for the game. By the time this episode drops, it'll be less than 24 hours between the Patriots and the Eagles. Maybe we're not looking for anything huge. As you said, we're not looking at the scoreboard. Maybe we're just looking individually at how some guys play and maybe what kind of plan Jerod Mayo puts out there. So give me to you personally, what are the things you're going to be looking for in this second preseason game when the Patriots take the field against the Eagles?
So I want to, do they adjust the offensive line at all? I mean, it was a problem in the first preseason game. It was a problem in the joint practice. Do they put Caden Wallace at left tackle? And maybe they want some practice time before they do that, which I would understand. But do they put Jalen Polk up with the ones? Do they give Drake May more than a couple series? Those are what I'm watching for. And as far as what I expect, I think you'll get 3 or 4 series from Drake May. I think you'll see Jalen Polk play a decent amount early because he's really showing it. I think you'll see the defense hold up okay. But I think you're going to see some more problems with the offensive line. Yeah, I just think it's going to be, unless they make some adjustments or some guys have great nights, I just think that's where they're at. And again, David Andrews is a good player. Mike Onwenu is a great player. I think Sidy Sow is a pretty good player. That's your interior of your offensive line. That's pretty good. But Vidarian Lowe, I have serious questions about. Right tackle, serious questions about. And when you, it's tough enough, Joe, when you have questions about one of your tackles. When you have questions about two, you know, especially that left tackle, the blind side, it's a serious issue. So that's unfortunately, I'm expecting that. I'm also expecting, Joe, we'll see a little bit more of the new kickoffs because I think we'll see a little more scoring than we saw in the first preseason game.
Okay, that's good. Quick side note, do you like the new kickoff? Is it something you're going to have to get adjusted to, or do you just absolutely hate it?
I'm dubious, Joe, to be honest. And I'm not, look, they're trying something new that hopefully is going to get more returns. I respect that. But I think there's some nuances in the rule that is going to confuse some casual fans, that's going to get annoying. Like, you know, if it lands in the landing zone, you can get the ball at the 20, but if it rolls into the end zone, you get the ball at the 30. It's like, there's some little nuance. Again, I'm not saying it's the end of the world, but I think it's going to be a little annoying. I think if the NFL really cared about player safety, Joe, they'd play 14 or 16 games, have 2 bye weeks, and then we wouldn't be worried about the kickoff play at all. We could have the right, right? It wouldn't be an issue. But as far as the play itself, I'm intrigued by it. I'm just kind of dubious on some of the nuances and exactly how it's going to play out.
Yeah, it's a wait and see kind of process, I think.
I would
agree. It's new.
Yeah.
It's new. Yeah. It's nothing really you've ever seen before unless you're a diehard of the XFL. But going back to what you were saying about Drake May, I think everyone's kind of under the assumption that the plan for Jerod Mayo is that Jacoby Brissett is QB1, Drake May is QB2. You know, whether you agree with the plan or not, it seems like that's going to be the case. Is there anything that Drake May could do in this game, specifically against the Eagles, that might make you scream a little louder for wanting Drake May to be the starter rather than Jacoby Brissett? I mean, does he have to light the Eagles up on 2 of his 3 drives?
I don't think there's anything he can do in this game, Joe, for a couple of reasons. Number one, it seems like they have a distinct plan to bring him along slowly, right? And not rush him and be careful with him. And part of it might be because, you know, the Mac Jones second year experience didn't go well in 2022. Part of it is just who Drake May is, and he needed some development. I think the other reason, though, Joe, and I said at the very beginning, this offensive line, do you really want to put him out there in week 1 or week 2 or week 3 against some of those defenses when you're not even sure if you have confidence in your left tackle and your right tackle? Like, that's a bad place for a rookie quarterback to be. And as much as I like Jalen Polk and Kendrick Bourne and DeMario Douglas, it's also not like the Patriots have the 49ers skill group, right? Or the Eagles skill group that he can just toss the ball to and not worry about pressure. So part of it's May's development, but part of it's the state of this offensive line. I don't want him to play right away. Now, I do want him to play this season, but I don't want him to play right away. And I think no matter, he could go 3 drives, 3 touchdowns and look great on all 3. And I don't think that's going to be enough for him to play week 1, even in the first month of the year. I just think it's because of those other factors. And I don't think it matters what he does. It's not going to speed it up to the first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a slow process, as you said, yeah, with Drake May wanting to pull him along. Last thing I'll ask you before you get out of here is probably the biggest thing that's been going on in Patriots camp, and that's, as we alluded to, the Matthew Judon situation. And last week in the preseason opener, it was kind of a tale of both. You saw him in pads, he didn't play. You saw him trying to coach up one of the players. Then Mayo kind of shooed him away. I guess just tell me what your expectations are for Matthew Judon, maybe now going into the game, maybe into the future, because we're seeing reports that teams have asked potentially about a Matthew Judon trade. Doesn't sound like there's going to be a big return, and that some reports might even say he'll play out the $6.5 million contract that he has. But is it still going to be this chaos? Is Matthew Judon going to create a personal hell for Jerod Mayo starting when he potentially plays against the Eagles? Just where are you at with the Matthew Judon situation?
The whole thing's annoying to me. And look, I mentioned it's a learning experience, because like, if you're the team and you know in February and March, hey, we're going to pay, or at least try to pay, on Wenu, Peppers, Duggar, Godshaw, Uche, Jennings, Stevenson. I mean, look at all these names I'm listing off, Joe. I mean, Judon walks on the field and looks around. Half the guys got an extension around him, just about. Right? And you got to know ahead of time, this is going to piss off Matt Judon, and we got to figure out a solution, whether it's we trade him in the offseason, we extend him in the offseason, or we go to him and say, hey, we want to see you healthy for a month, and if you look good at the end of training camp, we'll give you a raise or an extension then. None of those things happen. And so that, it, that from the team perspective, annoys me. The Judon perspective of I don't run my social media and then having a little tantrum out on the field, that annoys me from the Judon perspective. So the whole thing annoys me. As far as the resolution, like, it's a tough spot in this Eagles game, because I could see Judon not wanting to play, because if he gets hurt, well, then he's not going to get paid or traded. But if he plays and does well, then the team might have more leverage to trade him. But if he plays and does poorly, the team might say, well, we don't want to pay you yet. So it's a weird spot for both sides. I think he might play like a series, Joe, just because he didn't play at all in that Panthers game. So I could see maybe a series, probably not more than that. And I think this is, it's funny. If you asked me last week, and I was talking about this on Jones and Mago last week, I said, hey, why don't you pay him up to the franchise tag number, which I think is like 22 or 23 million a year. Just bring him up to that. Add 16 more million, because he's a franchise tag level player. So bring him up to that. But now that it's gone on another week and we've seen him have that, you know, like kind of still back and forth, I think this is going to end, Joe, with either they trade him or he sucks it up and plays for the $6.5 million and maybe he doesn't play the whole season and he leaves after this year.
Yeah, I called it last week. I called it a lose-lose situation on both sides. And plus, the factors for Judon aren't to his benefit. 32 coming off an injury.
Right.
Probably doesn't have a lot of leverage there. So you're saying that it's either the Patriots are going to win this because he's going to play, or Judon's going to win because he'll get to go somewhere else.
Yeah, basically. And wherever else he goes is probably going to be a team closer to contending for a Super Bowl than the Patriots. So that's the thing. It just, I don't see at this point them paying him a lot. I mean, maybe I'll be wrong, but I just, if this was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I'd be like, oh, maybe they'll adjust his contract and be okay. Now that it's still going on, both sides seem dug in. I don't see them coming to a contract agreement, at least not anytime soon.
It honestly, this is just a who knows situation, and who knows, maybe we'll get answers after the preseason game against the Eagles. John Lyons, pleasure as always to talk some football with you. Again, catch his stuff on New England Football Journal. He's also on WEEI. He's got some great content on WEEI.com. Tell what else you got going on. I feel like you're everywhere, man. Tell the good listeners what else you got going.
Yeah, well, I'm fortunate enough to be on WEEI on a regular basis. I love doing that. New England Football Journal as well. I have an in-season football show called Straight Facts Homie with Mason Souza and Walter Sabina. You can catch that on YouTube, TCAM TV. It's also in podcast form. So keep ourselves busy that way, and I keep myself busy that way as well. But I enjoy it. It's a great time of the year, Joe. Less than a month away from NFL football. Less than a month.
Yes, get excited. Get excited, folks. Maybe not if you're a Patriots fan, but if you're a general football fan, get excited. Again, John Lyons, thank you so much for your time. And here's to hoping we get some good vibes out of this Patriots preseason game with the Philadelphia Eagles. Thanks again.
Appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Always great to talk some football with John Lyons. Check out all the stuff he mentioned, including New England Football Journal, his stuff on WEEI. It's a great time. You'll get a lot of great football content out of that. But for now, we are going to sign off from the 24th episode of the Boston Breakdown Podcast. I thank all of you for watching us on YouTube. If you are watching us on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like this video, and boast it as much as you can. If you're listening to a Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, download, rate, review, 5 stars, do it all. Tell your friends, tell your friends' friends, tell your friends' cousins, tell them all about this great podcast that we got going. We got the Red Sox chasing the playoffs. We got more Patriots. This is only game two. There's still one more preseason game to go, which we are definitely going to dive into. We got some great content coming out for you, so you don't want to miss it. But until then, this is Joe Braverman once again signing off from episode 24. We will see you next time for episode 25 of the Boston Breakdown Podcast. So long.
This is our city.